Welcome to the cozy confines of the Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe. It is the longest running podcast here on the Grizzly Productions Network. My name is Mike Quackenbush. With me, as ever, is Clayton Morris. Together, we team up once a week here at the cafe to kibitz.
So get this, a new bill passed. You're a fan of Montana, the state of Montana.
I'm a huge fan of theirs. Oh, if only they had like a baseball team or something I could cheer for.
Yeah, they don't have any professional sports teams. But they do have a new bill that just passed by the Montana's House of Representatives. It's being considered right now in Montana. Maybe the governor will sign off on it. I don't know, Brian Schweitzer. But which would allow people to salvage meat from roadkill for consumption. And what's great is at least six other states have the salvage law in place already. That's fantastic.
Is that illegal, generally speaking? I mean,
it used to be. It used to be you could not, like, back in the day, it used to be that you would get fined for trying to, like, salvage the meat you killed with your car.
Right.
Now, a peace officer may issue permits to applicants for the purpose of salvaging antelope, deer, elk, or moose that have been accidentally killed in a vehicle collision. I mean, initially, I'm like, oh, this is disgusting, right? Because, you know, the photo that they have in this news piece is like a deer carcass that's been there for 5 days.
Right. But you probably made it too late to the scene.
Right. And something tells me, unless it's cold outside, that that meat's not going to keep.
Yeah.
Like, once the eyeballs have been removed, that's not a meat you want to eat, right? I mean, well, maybe you would do it. Would you do that?
No. I do know people that do this sort of thing.
Really?
But, yeah, me personally, no way.
What kind of people are doing this?
I'll just throw him under a bus right now. Smart Mark video cameraman Gary. That is totally his thing.
Really?
Like, he will call the other dudes up and be like, listen, I can't get this deer off the road. It's really heavy. We don't have long. If we want the meat, let's go. Get over here. He's a strange man, Smart Mark Gary. Very strange man. I know I'm going to get a really angry phone call, too, very soon about that. But, yeah. Yeah.
That's
couldn't.
Crazy.
No way. Don't call me to help you with that. I'm not coming.
Yeah, see, if my phone rings and it's Smart Mark Gary, I know what he's calling about, right?
Right.
So I'm not going to answer. I'll be like, hey, there's an episode of Dexter on right now. I'm not going out to remove a carcass off the road.
Right.
And, you know, maybe I do like venison. You know, venison's delicious. But I'm not going to go out there and get that deer carcass off the road. You can handle that yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, the cheese stands alone on that one.
There are things, though, that people, you know, like friends' favors that you do. You know, like the other day, I bothered my friend across the street to come over and help me lift this, like, treadmill desk that I just ordered upstairs to my third-floor office. At what point, I mean, it's sort of Seinfeldian, I guess, but, like, at what point do you, like, ask friends for favors like that? You know, after you've hung out with them a couple of times, going on a road trip with them? Like, I think the road trip, then it's like a friendship solidified, right? And then anyone can be calling you for favors. Like, if you've done a road trip with someone, then your friendship is solid. Right, because you've had to endure, like, asking them to have to go pee, take a pee break, stop out at a convenience store to get some food. You're probably stopping for lunch, too, so you're probably enjoying each other's company at lunch somewhere.
That's a tough one, you know? I don't know, but that kind of stuff, you know, like assembling furniture, that's really one of the worst. That's like the worst thing. You know, you see this thing in the store and you're like, oh, this would look perfect. And you order it. And then the guys, like a day or two later, they just bring this huge hulking box. Cause you know, in your mind, at least me, like I just see that. And I'm like, oh, I want that. And it never dawns on me like you're going to put that together.
Right.
When that thing gets to your house, it's going to be in 80 pieces, and you're going to spend a whole day. This has been happening to me a lot. This happens, you know, of course, when it's cold because of your skin gets dried out. But I get a lot of those where, like, I brush my fingers against something, and, like, the top couple layers of skin just kind of get, like, flayed right off. So, like, my fingers are always, like, really raw. Like, that's what those projects make me think of, you know?
Is your furniture made of sandpaper?
That's part of it. You know, I think that has a lot to do with it. And I fill the cushions with rocks.
You got the Pottery Barn exfoliant line of furniture. Anytime you touch it, it takes a layer of skin off of you.
Yeah.
It's not a bad idea. No, I know what you mean, in fact, because I was putting this desk together the other day. My dad was here helping me a little bit. you know, I always save like big projects when he's rolling into town.
Yeah.
So I've got this, you know, I've got this desk and just putting it together. There's like a plastic desk that goes over top of this treadmill. And I figure like, look, we all know what's going on with, you know, people having all kinds of leg issues and heart disease and all sorts of problems from like sitting all day.
Deep vein thrombosis.
Exactly. DVT, as the kids call it. So I'm putting this thing together. My dad's helping me. And you're right. You know, at the end of it all, like my hands are all raw. There's, you know, like my index fingers, it's all ripped to hell. And it's no fun. And then I had to put the treadmill portion of it together last night. And I'm like, you know, turning screws and got my drill out and putting those things, you know, and my hands are all beat to hell. Mm.
Yes.
We did one of those things where, by the way, if you ever order anything from Amazon that says like a white glove service, do you know what that means?
No.
Where it's where, you know, the people who deliver it will put it together for you.
Oh, wow.
You know, when you
order. That's like, what, an extra $75 charge?
Well, no, it's like built in. So you're reading the review and you're like, what's great is this company will deliver it to you with a white glove service. You know, and you're like, oh, that's great. Yeah, that's great. Good. I don't have to put this giant hutch together. You know the big hutch in my living room, the big white thing that holds our TV?
Yeah.
So that showed up and, you know, when we ordered it, we got a great deal on it, of course. And it was the one we were looking for to fill that space. And it was, you know, it's weird, odd space. So we needed a specific thing. So it comes and like the three guys like deliver it. They're like, where do you want it? I'm like, well, we want to set it up right, you know, there. And they brought it into the living room. Like, okay, can you sign for it? And it's still all in the boxes. And I was like, I'm sorry, you guys don't assemble it? I'm like, oh, no. You know, we just deliver it. You've got to assemble it. And I said, you got to be kidding me. Mm-hmm. And my wife like scurried away, like ran upstairs because she knew I'd be for the next 5 weeks be busy putting this thing together.
She thought she should sequester herself.
Yeah. So white glove service. Uh-huh. So what does the white glove service actually mean? They just deliver it to you?
Are they just wearing white gloves?
Right. And they did that sort of brushing of their hands and they said, all right, mm-hmm. We'll see you later.
They took like their index finger down your windowsill and they're like,
it's dusty.
Dusty. Well, sign here, sir.
We'll see you later. Yep. We've got to go get a Chick-fil-A sandwich right now. It's our lunch break. Yeah. Hey, we got some feedback here.
And feedback?
Feedback on our Twitter feed, Grizzly Bear Cafe on Twitter. And John Bolin writes us, hey, signed up for my free trial of Tonks coffee and I'm ready to try to get my tablet. Good for you, John. Thanks for signing up. And we'll tell you a little bit later about Tonks coffee and how you have one more chance to sign
up. Yeah, you don't have very long, so you better listen up, kids.
They want to know, Chad Ingles writes us, wants to know if Mike Quackenbush and Clayton Morris, did you guys catch John Flansburgh of They Might Be Giants on the Unprofessional podcast?
I did not. No,
I didn't catch him there. We'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
Some other listeners have been wondering what other shows we've been listening to lately. That is a good one, The Unprofessional. Mm-hmm. Let's see. We had some wanting to know, well, we had a lot of feedback about the DC 52.
I want to talk about the new 52 in a second, but go ahead.
So we had a lot of people commenting because we had quite a conversation about it last week and, you know, sort of where it's headed and has it been a success? What does it mean for older fans? Travis Tooley writes us on Twitter and says, I, for one, quit collecting DC after many years because of the new 52 launch. Too much continuity changes yet again from DC. Matt Revolution writes us, Mike's quote from last show, if you erase the continuity, long-term fans will bail theory for the new 52 failing is dead on, Matt says. Mm-hmm. He says DC already had issues with desperately trying to redefine themselves each year. Resetting everything was the last straw. So it seems like, you know, we've got some hardcore fans that really believe that it was a bad move. What did you want to say about it?
Yes, I think that it was. But I wanted to throw this out there. This is baffling to me, absolutely baffling to me. And I think, I don't know, this comic isn't out yet. You can't pass judgment on it. You know, the only thing that's out there has been the released image of the cover. But one of the new titles coming out in the new 52 is Justice League of America. And Justice League of America, number one. Now, there is a Justice League book, but there's not Justice League of America, you know. There's that other Justice League title that has the big guns in it, right? With that art by Jim Lee. Well, the new 52 is rolling out Justice League of America with team leader Steve Trevor. You know who Steve Trevor is, Clayton?
No, I don't.
Steve Trevor is the guy Wonder Woman's always rescuing.
Mm.
He was played by Lyle Waggoner in the Carter series.
Right.
He's the team leader. The rest of the team includes John Jones, the Martian Manhunter, who's one of my least favorite DC characters ever, Green Arrow, Catwoman, Hawkman, Katana. You might remember her from The Outsider. She's also going to have a really prominent role in that new Batman cartoon that's coming. Do you remember Katana at all? Can you even picture what she looks like mentally?
Yes, I can. She kind of looks like a, maybe I'm wrong, but I think she looks like a you know, an African sort of cheetah style, right? I mean, she's got like a loincloth. Let me pull up a picture here. I'm not describing it well. Katana. Yeah.
Katana, she was part of the Batman and the Outsiders team, you know, with like Black Lightning and those characters in the 80s, when they really thought Batman could support any book. And in this upcoming animated series that replaces Batman the Brave and the Bold, this new one that's coming is called Beware the Batman, Robin is replaced with Katana, which has a lot of people up in arms.
So no, I'm thinking of someone else then. Who am I thinking of that has like a bit of a... a bit of a sort of, I don't know, Tarzan style look to her, because Katana is Japanese, of course. But I
don't know if you're thinking of Shanna the She Devil, or I don't know. But
she kind of has like a long katana sword, of course.
Right. She's definitely like an F-lister.
Right.
She's bottom of the barrel, and the fact that she's going to be really prominent in this new Batman cartoon. Well, I understand the theory behind this. Have you heard about this? What they're doing with Beware the Batman?
No.
It's very much based on his detective roots, and it has, you know, it de-emphasizes all the superheroics. To that end, there is no Joker, Penguin, Riddler, Two-Face, any of the really over-the-top Bat-villains. It's all like the mobster-level villains will be in it. And it apparently even, like, brings Alfred into the action. Like, it alludes to his secret agent past a bit. And because, you know, like the bright primary color characters are all gone, including Robin. He's replaced by Katana in this new series.
And I'm seeing, so this is an animated show.
It is, yeah. So Beware the Batman is. And this is what they canceled Batman the Brave and the Bold to put in the works, because they wanted something that was more grounded and more serious and more akin to the sensibilities of the Nolan trilogy. Whereas, of course, Brave and the Bold really kind of embraced some of the more absurd Silver Age ideas, which is what I love, you know. That's Batman the Brave and the Bold was like a cartoon that was made for us, I feel like.
Right.
I don't know about this new one, but Katana's on the team. Vibe, who's from that Detroit League, which is like the worst thing ever. Stargirl and a brand new Green Lantern they've come up with. Simon Baz is a brand new Green Lantern. So that's the new Justice League of America. It's Steve Trevor leading it. And really the only major guns there are John Jones, Green Arrow, and Hawkman. Then underneath you got Catwoman, Katana, Vibe, Stargirl, and this brand new Green Lantern character. That is the new 52 Justice League of America. And I'm just like baffled. Like, it just seems like they're grasping at straws.
Why would they do that?
Right. Like, Marvel had their
finger on the pulse of like what was, you know, what fans wanted, right? So they had like 30 different Wolverine books that came out at the time. Cable got his own comic. You know what I mean? You had your most popular books, and I guess you rewarded them with maybe spin-off series. I don't understand this, where you take B-list and F-list characters and try to bring them front and center.
Right. Like, you remember when they did the Suicide Squad title in DC, mm-hmm. where they kind of rounded up all these bottom-of-the-barrel characters, a lot of them were villains, and they put them in these situations where they could kill them off, because that gave the book something that the other books didn't have. Like, half the Suicide Squad would be killed every issue, you know, because the editors weren't interested in protecting Captain Boomerang or, you know, these really bottom-of-the-barrel guys. So I don't know if that's what this is supposed to be, but I think the issue is... And this is, the problem. This was a huge hump I couldn't get over when the Giffen DeMatteis run began in the late 80s. If you're calling this Justice League, if Justice League is in the title, it needs to be the big guns, you know? This isn't even the West Coast Avengers to Avengers. This is like the Great Lakes Avengers. Do you remember them? Like, you don't put that out there and call it Avengers. Like, right. That's what this is.
My son, you know, if my son's going to start reading this, you know, he loves Superman, right? He loves Batman. He loves the major players. He even likes Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't know these people from Adam.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's no pun, but, you know, he doesn't care about, he doesn't even care about like the Atom.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't care about some of these lower level guys.
Right.
You want the big boys.
Yeah. Agreed. It's just baffling. Now, you know, back when they had to do that rebrand, or, you know, they relaunched the Justice League and it was Justice League International in the late 80s. The reason for that had to be the Justice League was because there was a certain mandate from the editorship about who could and couldn't be there. And so you had to make a Justice League that didn't have Superman in it, you know, and it was, that's when you blew Beetle and Booster Gold, and it was really heavy on the Martian Manhunter, and you had some Batman, but he really was never front and center. You know, it was more about Guy Gardner or the Black Canary or these other characters. But even to me, you know, that was during a period when I was a heavy comic collector. I didn't want to touch that Justice League book because it didn't have the big guns.
Right.
You know, I was not going to spend my money on a book that looked like it was about the Martian Manhunter. And I think this same book is going to really struggle with that, because at least like some major characters used to float through Justice League International. You'd get a couple issues where Captain Marvel was in it, or, you know, I remember for a while Justice League Europe, they kind of had like Wonder Woman, Flash, and Hal Jordan there to kind of attract you, like, oh, there's some marquee characters, even though a lot of times that book was about Metamorpho or it was about Crimson Fox or one of the secondary players. But
well, it's one of those things, like you mentioned Great Lakes Avengers. I don't remember that ever being its own standalone book.
No, definitely not. Like,
and I remember
maybe
them like popping up in like the West Coast Avengers, but they never, you know, as far as I remember, never had their own book. So Marvel was at least aware enough that they, you know, these, I don't even remember some of the guys. And I remember there was like a reptilian bird like guy or woman.
Right.
And I remember there
Dinah Soar was her name.
And I remember there being like a,
it was like a Reed Richards ripoff called Flatman.
Yeah, Reed Richards ripoff. And it looks like, you know, it looks like FF, but he has it on his, was he like?
It was like the letter F, I think, where the four would be. And he was Flatman. All he could do was make himself flat, and you'd slide him under doors. Like,
yeah.
They had to always contrive these situations where there was like a locked door or a vault that they couldn't get into, and he'd make himself flat, and they'd slide him under it.
The only one I remember from the Great Lakes Avengers whose name I remember was Big Bertha, who looked like the Blob.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just like a female version of the Blob. And their leader was Mr. Immortal, who he just couldn't be killed. So, you know, like if they were chasing somebody and the guy could, he got away, Mr. Immortal could just jump off a building, land on his face. Nothing could kill him. He'd just get up and keep running.
Right.
You know, but.
Yeah, but at least Marvel had the wherewithal to not release that as its own standalone book.
Right. Like, I think they were the central characters in three issues of West Coast Avengers, and that was it. And that was during when John Byrne had the control of the book, right? He both wrote and drew it. And he did do some great stuff. Like, I remember that story where the Vision was disassembled, and they had to put him back together, and that was a Byrne story. And Byrne did a lot with U.S. Agent, who I always hated, but he, you know, it was good. It was good stuff, but yeah, like the Great Lakes Avengers, it was kind of like the Detroit League era in the Justice League, where Aquaman was the leader, and then it was Katana, Vibe, Gypsy, like all these characters you did not care about. And you know what? Like, in terms of sales and everything else, that was the worst period in the history of the Justice League. And when that team was the featured team, that led to that book being canceled after how many decades? Like, the Justice League, which should be the flagship of DC, you know, got squashed. So now, of course, they do have the proper Justice League title, right? The one with the big guns that we alluded to. But I think you're going to muddy the waters putting this book out, and its title is Justice League of America. And all we're hearing about, right, is all these problems they're having getting the Justice League movie into pre-production. No, they can't agree on a script. So you can imagine, I was on another podcast last week. I was on a podcast called Shared Spandex I did. And they talk about the crossovers between wrestling and comic books, which obviously is something I wouldn't mind talking about. And they talked about how confusing it is for a kid today. Like, if you watched that cartoon that's on right now called Ultimate Spider-Man, or you went and saw The Amazing Spider-Man in theaters, and then you went to a comic book store, or you went to a Barnes & Noble, where would you start? Where does that Spider-Man character that you liked in the movie or in the cartoon exist in a comic book today on the racks? You look at the racks released this week and you can't find him. It's confusing. And then what do you do? Do you start looking at the trade paperbacks? Like, where would you even begin?
Right. Would you go back into history and start trying to read some of the, you know, just the original compendiums of the original Amazing Spider-Man, starting with, like, the first issue?
Right, but how confusing that must be for new readers. Like, oh, well, the cartoon's called Ultimate Spider-Man. I'll pick up the comic book Ultimate Spider-Man. But you know what? The comic book Ultimate Spider-Man has nothing to do with that cartoon.
Right, and then you've got the Marvel Now series starting. So do you start reading the Secret Avengers number one, which just came out? You know, if you're into the, you know, you're into the Avengers, and for the first time you pick up those books, where do you go?
It's baffling, and it's got to be very, very difficult for new readers to get invested. And these kind of publicity stunts are meant to attract the new readers. While I don't think it works, you know, I think you disengage the previously existing readers, and then you're baffling the new readers. And a lot of this, I know I've said this before, and I don't mean to, like, beat this dead horse, but I think a lot of the problems in the comic book industry go back to the fact that Diamond Distribution has a monopoly. Briefly, Marvel tried to do their own distribution, and then they gave it up. You know, it was too costly, or what? I don't really know the reasons why. But I remember that. I remember that from when I worked at Golden Eagle Comics, that Marvel was trying to do distribution outside of Diamond. And Diamond drives the prices. And there's a reason why you spend $5 on a comic book now, and the reason is because Diamond drives the prices. If Diamond Distribution says to them, you know, we'll buy the comic books from you at, let's say, $1.50, and we sell them for $5 because, you know, we need this, you know, what we sell them to the retailers maybe for $4, so the retailers make $1 off each book that they sell. And then for the distribution, the shipping costs, you know what I mean, all that, we take $2.50 and then you get the $1.50. So they have to think about what their bottom line is, right? If Marvel needs to make so much on each comic, or DC, or God help the independent publishers out there, you've got to make so much, well, then you've got to, you know, the end cover price has to be so much to justify the distribution cost, the shipping, and everything else. And once Diamond really had the monopoly, that's when you saw the prices of comic books skyrocket. And they have. They've increased in price, I mean, exponentially. If you think about what they were when we were buying them regularly, like, it was getting bad when comics were $1.75. Well, you'd kill for a $1.75 comic book these days.
Yeah, and that's the when I was buying a bunch of those books, those even digitally, I was like, whoa, you know, did spend a little bit of money on that for my flight, you know, getting some of the new Justice League books, some of the new Batman books, and, you know, it was a pretty penny. Mm-hmm. Not as much as obviously buying them in paper form, but nevertheless.
Yeah. Well, Steve Geppi and the people at Diamond Distribution are getting fat off of that. And I think you will never have casual readers again. Who in their right mind is just going to take $5 out of their pocket and be like, let's see if I like this Steve Trevor comic book? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a couple of things that came out this week. I don't know if we were talking a little bit about J.J. Abrams directing. I don't think we ever really delved into it, but directing the new Star Wars films and some news. I don't know if you saw it. It was a weird report from that Latino website. He always ends up getting like really good review, good exclusives. Did you see that where Harrison Ford is coming back as Han Solo?
I did, yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what he looks like.
Well, here's what I didn't want. I mean, I did not want to have happen in episode 7 of this thing for it to be like the old crew coming back. You know, they're going to save the universe again. And, oh, we got a Wookiee and a Millennium Falcon, and it's going to outrun one ship, and we're going to get lucky. And I just don't want to see that again. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't know what his role will be. Maybe he has like a cameo in it. So he'll be, you know, maybe an elder statesman, so to speak. Maybe he'll provide some tutelage to somebody else.
Right. I'd have to guess that they're just going to be cameos, you know, when they get some of the originals back.
Yeah. You think so? I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was a bit of news this week. And it certainly is confirmed. But, and I don't know. I guess it makes sense. But, I mean, you know, what's weird for me is Harrison Ford was never really a fan of Han Solo.
Hmm.
He always thought
I didn't know that.
he really didn't like the character. In fact, he sort of spoke out publicly against that. He thought he was a really, you know, two-dimensional character. There wasn't much there. And when you compare him to, like, Indiana Jones, you know, who he loves playing, you know, it's a tale of two characters, but he really does not like that character. So
that's fascinating, because I would watch him as Han Solo all day long. And I can't say that about Indiana Jones.
Well, I mean, I love both characters. I see what he's saying, though. I mean, as Han Solo, there's not, I don't know, maybe there's not a lot of depth there, but what do I know? I mean, I'm not an actor. Maybe there's just not a lot of work with. You know, he's just kind of like a surly guy who, you know, kind of is a womanizer. Or a bit of a sexist. I mean, that's kind of his character, right? Does he have anything more substance than that?
Well, I don't know, you know. It has really been a long time since I've sat and watched those. And it'd be interesting to see. I mean, and who knows what it looks like in the script. You know, they say a lot of the best lines that Han Solo gives are actually improvs by Harrison Ford. You know, that parting line in Empire when Leia's like, "I love you." And he says, "I know." That was an improvisation by Harrison Ford. So who knows how much of it is what he brought to the role.
Interesting. Well, we have, I guess we have some X-Men news. We have some other stuff we can chat about. And I see an amazing Spider-Man 2 costume revealed. Have you seen this too?
I've not seen the costume revealed. Does it look radically different from the previous one?
We'll talk about it in a moment, but first, why don't you tell us about our good friends over at Tonks Coffee?
I will. I'm going to tell you, you're going to want to pin your ears back, kids, and listen very, very closely as we tell you about Tonks Coffee, because this is it. This is your last opportunity to get in on the running for this Google Nexus tablet device that we're giving away in conjunction with our great friends and show sponsors over at Tonks. To find out more about them, I invite you to go over to their website, which is tonks.org, T-O-N-X.O-R-G. And you can sign up right now. And in fact, if you want to get in the running for this Nexus tablet, you're going to have to sign up for the free trial. You could become a new Tonksian. You could get the world's freshest coffee beans sent directly to you. They have an incredible system by which they get these things sealed up within 24 hours of being plucked, and they send them from all different regions of the world direct to you. They've got all these independent sources around the globe so that you get a wonderful variety and you're experiencing coffee the way that it's meant to be. You don't want those beans to be, you know, out there turning bitter, they get rancid, they're sun bleached, whatever. They're sitting on the racks at a store somewhere unsold for weeks and weeks, losing their flavor. If you want to get around this and you want to save a big chunk of money, Tonks.org is the place to go. You know, the consumerist averages, they believe, that the working American spends just shy of $1,500 a year on their coffee habit. And if you want to drive your personal number down a little bit, well, this is the way to do it. And brewing it at home is really quite easy. You can make a cup in less than 5 minutes. I think you can do a decent cup in about three, actually, once you get it down to a science. It does take you a little while. I don't want to fool you. Sometimes you hear Clayton talk about it here on the program like it's the easiest thing on earth. It took me a little while to get into the swing of things. But once you get up and running, you can't beat it. And the taste is second to none. That's why they are so quickly and rapidly attracting so much attention. You're going to want to get on board with these guys right now. Tonks.org, sign up for your free trial. And then we're going to ask you to send out a tweet on our behalf. Are we not, Mr. Morris?
Indeed. So all you need to do is, just like many of our audience members have done, is just send out a tweet that says, hey, you know, I've signed up for my at Tonks Coffee trial of coffee, T-O-N-X-C-O-F-F-E-E. And looking forward to trying it out. And just use the hashtag Grizz if you like. But we're going to go through those tweets once you've done it. We'll check with Tonks to make sure you've signed up for it. And again, it's free to sign up. And then we are going to pick one person at random and send them a Google Nexus 7 tablet. And it's just saying thanks from your friends here at the Grizz. So we've got a lot of people who've entered. You have just a few more days, because we're going to announce the winner next week on the show. So we're going to pick it here in the next, I think, 2 days. So if you're listening to this show on Wednesday, February 20th, you have until the 21st at midnight to sign up. 21st at midnight to sign up. And then just send out that tweet send out that tweet, and we will you'll be entered. Okay? Very, very simple.
That's the way to do it. And you're going to get a free pouch of beans with signing up. It's not like you're just signing up for the sake of this Google Nexus 7 either. You're going to get some great coffee beans for free. And believe me, once you get into the groove of it, you're not going to want to cancel. You can cancel at any time if you want. There's no obligation to you. But once you get into the world of Tonks, there's no coming back.
That's right. So, yes, I teased you about the new Amazing Spider-Man costume. And it's interesting because we now have at least a glimmer of an eye patch from the next Spider-Man movie. So we know kind of what's going to happen in this, and where we have an idea maybe what's going to happen. We saw Green Goblin stuff, and we see this dark black Spider-Man eye patch, this new Spider-Man costume. So could it be that he's in a black costume going forward, or we're going to see Venom? We don't know. But we do know that there will be a black costumed person in this film, although it does look like, because it has the sort of, I don't know how you'd describe it, like the eye patch area has like the sunglasses look with the bunch of little holes over the eye patch.
Like 70s Spider-Man.
Right. It does look like it's a black suit, and therefore it could be Peter Parker in that black suit, not Venom as a separate character. Because Venom as a separate character doesn't have like eye patches. His actual eyes become white. So, I don't know. We'll see. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm interested to see. Like, the first one was fine, but it wasn't like when I came out of the Tobey Maguire one. And maybe that was just because that we finally got to see Spider-Man on the big screen. And, you know, like getting to see him swinging around New York in such a realistic fashion was like euphoric.
Right.
You know, now we've seen a couple movies of that. Now it's not so cool anymore.
Right. Yeah, it was kind of weak. And then, you know, Sam Raimi, of course, who directed the first three films, he was interviewed recently about the most recent Spider-Man film and asked whether or not he's seen it. And he said, no, he hasn't seen it.
Right, yeah, I saw that.
What did he say, that he couldn't stomach it? Or he said
he didn't have the nerve, I think he said.
Yeah, and I don't know, it's interesting. What, is it because he just thought it would be better than his, and so that's what he meant?
That's how I took it.
Yeah. So I got a couple of tweets here from people asking for you to start dancing on the show. And I don't know what this means. And is it because of some...
Yeah, I don't think you're reading those right.
I see a couple people writing us wondering if they want you to dance. There was some sort of... you at a Chikara show, I guess? Or what is this about?
Yeah, I don't know, Clayton. Well, anyway. Yeah.
Get to the bottom of this.
You can try. You're welcome to try, my friend.
To dig around a little bit more. If anyone out there, any Grizz listeners, know what's going on here. Mike's not being very forthcoming today.
Nobody knows, Clayton. I was on the road this past weekend. I was with Wrestling is Art, and we were up in Massachusetts. And I had a grand old time. I got to meet some loyal members of the Egghead Army who wanted me to say hello. I'm not very good with names, but the one guy, he had like that face that was sort of oval like, and it had a nose. That guy wanted me to say hi to you. And I met a number of people that were fans of our podcast, which is always very nice when I'm out and about. And we had a really good time. We had a good time in both Haverhill, Massachusetts, and Bridgewater. We're back. The Wrestling is Art gang will be back May 11th and 12th. We're back up that way. And I was really, really pleased. I thought the overnight snowfall might keep some people away from the Bridgewater event. Like, I think the roads weren't even plowed yet, and yet they came out in droves. So it was a lot of fun. And I got to see a friend of mine and fellow podcaster, Colt Cabana. And he was telling me about all these great podcasts he listens to, and I'm thinking to myself, like, wow, I got to start listening to those. And then I immediately forgot what the titles were.
Well, like the WTF podcast?
He and I have talked about that in the past. He was mentioning some other ones, and he was saying to me that he listens to mostly comedy podcasts, but he was like, oh, I listen to this one as well, and this, and I was telling him about the new Disruptors, and then when it was all over, we both kind of just looked at each other like, yep, we're not going to remember any of those show titles.
Hey, did you hear about the latest S.H.I.E.L.D. news?
That TV series. Now, the pilot's done, right?
Yeah, so Joss Whedon officially wrapped the show, or the pilot. The pilot has been wrapped. It's done. It's in the can. And now, finally, Whedon as being a little bit more forthcoming about what we can expect from the show. Mm. He said he's very excited about the show because it's a very hopeful show. Mm. It's not about murder. It's not about crime. It's not people looking into their own belly buttons, sort of contemplating. It's about people who are trying to help each other. And that's one of the things I loved about comic books. They had costumes and the villains were cool, but they stood for something. And I like doing a show that does that. Mm. We have some interesting cast members, of course, because what's his name from Agent Coulson will be mm-hmm. heading it up, right?
As far as I know, yes. It's expected that this kind of predates what happens to him in the Avengers.
And it's going to be on ABC, which will be interesting. So it's on a major broadcast network. And there is some talk that there would be some bringing some actors from the Marvel Cinematic Universe in for some guest spots once in a while. Mm-hmm. So could we see Robert Downey show up in an episode? Could we see Scarlett Johansson pop in? Could we see Captain America make an appearance? Those types of folks would be interesting to see.
Yeah, and I think Marvel's been really smart about the way they've done their contracts for the Marvel Cinematic Universe, so who knows? If that falls within the parameters of the deals that they had these guys sign, it's entirely possible, which would be really cool to have those little kind of cameos.
Yeah, I mean, think of on the small television screen to have Iron Man pop up. I wonder if it in some way would lessen his appeal on the big screen, but I don't know. I don't think so.
Right, to have Tony Stark come through the S.H.I.E.L.D. office, I think there are ways to do that. And I think they've been really smart about the way they've handled the cross-promotion. So I don't know when it is that they haven't said anything about it, if they're going to show the S.H.I.E.L.D. pilot, or if they're going to hold it until the series is ready to go. But they'd be really smart to time those kind of things, like, with Iron Man 3 hitting theaters or when the Thor sequel's ready.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. There's so many good shows on TV lately that it's hard to – try to keep them all straight. There's a new show called The Americans, which just started. Have you seen that? It's
no. Is that about you and me?
Right. They're over in Russia. I guess what was her name? She played Felicity. I can never remember her name.
Oh, is that Carrie Russell?
Yeah, yeah. So she's like an American spy, and she's like partnered with a guy that they're supposed to look like they're married, but they're not, and they live together. They don't even know each other, basically. Mm-hmm. They live in Russia. They're supposed to have like a normal family life with their fake kids and go through the process there, but they're spies, and they're sort of thrust into the situation. Sounds pretty interesting. That debuted a few weeks ago. The Walking Dead is back.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're like 2 episodes or 3 episodes deep now for The Walking Dead. You've got Justified that's on the air right now, and their season, which is great. So
it's just right, so and the new half season of Breaking Bad starts next week.
What? Really? Already?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, don't do that to me. House of Cards with Kevin Spacey appearing on Netflix is getting rave reviews. And then I think in just a few short weeks, we have Arrested Development making its debut on Netflix.
Mid-May, they're saying for that. And they're saying that all 14 of the episodes are now complete, like the post-production is complete, and they are proceeding as planned. You will get all 14 of them at the exact same time.
That is fantastic. Oh, that is fantastic. What else is going on?
Well, I think, yeah, I'm very, very excited about that Arrested Development business. And apparently everyone is in agreement, too, about the movie script. So the way, I've heard it described is that these 14 episodes will kind of bring you up to speed. They're not saying that this is taking place like the day after season 3 ended. Some time will have passed. And I guess given how much Michael Cera has probably aged, as well as the actress who plays Maybe, they probably had no other choice, right? Like, they're going to look like they've grown quite a bit. When did Arrested Development get canceled? Do you know this?
Oh, I don't know this. I think I was still in Florida when it was still hanging on, so like 2007?
Yeah, I was going to say 6 or 7. So obviously they've grown up quite a bit, and it's going to sort of bring you up to date with where all these characters are, and then it's supposed to kind of serve as the entree into the movie.
2006. 2003 to 2006. Yeah. Just looking to see if there's any. Yeah, just to see if there's any storytelling stuff here. I saw someone on a Segway the other day, and someone said, You know, I would really love to get a Segway, but the cool factor has been ruined for me because of Job riding around in a Segway.
That ruined the cool factor, did it?
I'm thinking, if anything, it was never cool.
Right.
But it would be even more cool because Job was using it. And I love that he would ride around in a Segway. It's weird. I mean, it was 88th among viewers on television in the 18 to 49-year-old range on Nielsen's ratings, with a 6.2 million viewers. So in the second, or the second season was supposed to have 18 episodes, four episodes short of the planned season of,
well, that was because of the writer's strike though. The reason that got cut short was because of the writer's strike. And then when they came back, that's when things started to get really bad.
Hmm. So they say the third season averaged about 4 million viewers, and that's when Fox said it would halt production.
Right.
It is amazing that when you think about 4 million people watching it, and you think about someone like Anderson Cooper's show on CNN, right? I think he gets like 400,000 people watching that show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. 4 million people watching, that's a lot of people. Even 6 million in their first two seasons, that's a lot of people.
Well, I guess, I mean, other than whatever they have to pay that person who makes the silver-maned Fox, Anderson Cooper, look presentable for TV, and the electricity it takes to turn on the lights and let him start yakking, what's the budget of an Anderson Cooper show versus a giant ensemble cast like Arrested Development, you know?
Right, right.
You could even see in the third season how they start cutting corners, well, you know, the way they would shoot things, the sets. You know what it really reminds me of? Maybe this is just because I've watched a few of them recently, is that third season of Batman from the 60s, when the budget was drastically cut back. You could just tell by the sets, you know, that the budget was so dramatically cut back. And it was almost like Batgirl was there to distract you. Like, right. Don't look over here at how terrible the sets are. Like, don't notice how all of a sudden everything happens in Commissioner Gordon's office, so we never have to go anywhere else. That's how that third season of Arrested Development felt to me.
But boy, do you have a lot of awards that this thing garnered. Golden Globe Awards, Writers Guild's Awards, Satellite Award, Young Artist Award, Television Critics.
It was a critical darling, and it has a cult following, but, you know, it just...
I do remember one of the speeches. I don't know if it was during the Emmy Awards. It may have been when they won all those Emmy Awards. They received 7 Emmy Award nominations and 5 wins. Mm-hmm. And I remember watching it. I remember the show's creators being up on stage sort of pleading with the audience at home, basically saying, hey, you know, thank you for these great awards, but please tell your friends, you know, mm-hmm. watch our show, because otherwise we won't be here next year. It was kind of a plea to the audience. And they even wrote that into the show,
mm-hmm.
right? There was that whole episode that sort of where – I don't know if you recall that episode where it was – there was some sort of, I don't know, an awards dinner that the mom had to attend, and they all had to attend. The Bluth family had to attend. Mm-hmm. But the whole episode was veiled in this larger sort of – I don't know. What's the best way to describe it? Sort of like art imitating life, right? They were basically saying that, hey, you know, help us out, otherwise we're going to be canceled.
Mm-hmm. No, they did a lot of that kind of stuff. Like, you remember that episode where Carl Weathers and David Cross are eating together at a Burger King, and
right.
they're talking about, like, Burger King is the show's sponsor? Like, they did a lot of that kind of breaking the fourth wall, wink, wink, nudge, nudge type stuff.
Right. I forgot about Carl Weathers being in the show with one hand.
Yeah, he's great. And, you know, he's only in 3 episodes. He only actually cameos in 3 episodes, but he's terrific. Like, I love that guy. What was his name? J. Walter Weatherman. He's like George the father's friend who teaches the children lessons, and he has one arm.
Right. Oh, that's
or whatever.
The guy. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That's why we never.
Mm-hmm. Like those guys. You know, they only show up a handful of episodes, but you think like, oh yeah, they're in it all the time. No, they really aren't.
Bob Blah Blah.
That that name is perfect.
Scott Baio playing Bob Loblaw. And Henry Winkler was just great too in it. All those guys. And, you know, Liza Minnelli, she's just fantastic in it.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, it did. It had a huge ensemble cast. It was probably very costly to produce. And the fact that it was a critical darling and had a huge cult following couldn't save it, because at the end of the day, it's an industry. You know, it's a business. And it's cool. You know, you could see how they're trying to win favor with that type of audience now, because I think when that was really popular, there wasn't to the extent the level of splintering in viewership that there is now. You know, I think they're probably the networks now would probably kill themselves for 4 million people watching one of their shows. But you rewind 7-8 years ago, and those numbers weren't enough to sustain a series.
Yeah, so it's interesting that Netflix has been able to bring it back. I think they're actually working on some other shows right now that'll be exclusive to Netflix, and it's kind of exciting. You know, they're trying to outdo HBO. They're trying to, you know, outdo HBO before HBO has a chance to do what Netflix. You know, they're each trying to be each other, right? So HBO is trying to position itself as a Netflix, providing interesting content. You pay a fee, you get to watch it on your device. And this past week, actually, HBO Go, you know, the app where you can watch HBO on your iPad or your, I guess it's on iPhone too. I think it's on Android, of course, and other spots. But and you can actually watch it on Boxy. There are actually a couple of like set-top boxes where you could download the HBO Go app. I think even on a Roku box and other places where you can watch it. You know, they're trying to be everywhere. But last week they enabled AirPlay for the app. So that means that if I had HBO Go and I had a subscription, of course, you still have to pay for the subscription, right? You still have to have it on your main cable box at home. Mm-hmm. I could go over to your house if you had an Apple TV box, and we could sign in, you know, just would hit AirPlay, and we could just start watching like episodes of Game of Thrones, like right there on your TV from my account. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a big deal. It's kind of a big deal, especially if you have like another TV in the house that has, you know, like an Apple TV connected to it or something like that. So that was a big move because HBO had sort of, they were the ones that turned it off. Like they didn't enable that. So it's kind of, now that they see that Netflix is making a real big run at them, you're getting this competition in the marketplace. And, you know, Netflix trying to do a couple of these shows that are exclusive to them. And they're trying to have the kind of quality content that HBO has been known for. Right. I mean, no one buys Cinemax unless they want like late night Cinemax or something like that.
Does that even still exist?
I don't know. And like Showtime, right? The only reason like my buddy bought Showtime was so he could watch Dexter. Mm-hmm. He became so obsessed with Dexter and Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. So those two shows are the only reason you'd get Showtime. You're not watching Showtime for like the third rate movies that they're running randomly.
Mm-hmm. Homeland's also on there, right? Homeland's on Showtime, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. So yeah, you got those. Again, so you have all this sort of great content. So Netflix is saying, hey, you know, if we can get some great shows that are the reason people would like subscribe to us for $8 a month, get House of Cards, get Arrested Development, they're in the market for, they're working on like 5 shows right now. Mm-hmm. 5 different high-profile shows that they're throwing a boatload of money at. So if they can get 2 or 3 hits out of that, they're kind of sitting pretty.
Mm-hmm. And they have to realize, I mean, as you once said, the volume of internet traffic that Netflix represents, they have this immense audience that they're servicing. And I think it's entirely possible in a couple of years that they'll overtake HBO.
I think so. And I think, you know, with all the movies available, they just signed that Pixar deal. I don't know if you saw that. Netflix just signed that exclusive Pixar deal. So you'll get sort of, you know, all of like the Toy Story films, even I think the first run one. So as soon before they hit HBO, they're going to hit Netflix now, which is a big deal.
Sure.
And I think, no, it's actually not just Netflix. It's not just Pixar. It's Disney and Pixar. So you're going to get all these new first run Disney films and Pixar films at first, and I was wondering, does that mean the Marvel Cinematic Universe also?
That I don't know. I mean, obviously anything since the Disney merger, yes, but the stuff previous to that, I don't know where they're at in reacquiring the rights. I mean, they said, of course, that as the rights came up to be, you know, what is that, optioned, I guess, by somebody else, that they would aggressively go after them, but I don't know if any of that's actually gone down yet.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because if you, I don't know if you pop on Netflix at all, you can see like Thor is available to stream, Captain America is available to stream, Iron Man 2 is available to stream. I don't think Avengers is there yet. You know, that's still for sale, so I don't think that, you know, you can stream that for free just yet. But if they make those deals, if they get those deals in place with Disney and the Marvel Cinematic Universe, that's a huge deal.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that you can watch it anywhere.
There's a handful of those. You know, there was a time when, and the time of this is like the 90s, because you got one superhero movie every 2 or 3 years, we would never miss a superhero movie, you right. and I. We absolutely would, never would. But this is a different time we're living in. We're in the golden age of superhero films, and there's a dozen every year or so. And there are movies that otherwise we would have never let slip through the cracks. But having said that, I never saw that Punisher sequel. Did you see it?
No, no.
I never saw the Ghost Rider sequel.
No, I didn't see that either.
Yeah, like it's crazy, you know? I've still never seen the Halle Berry Catwoman movie.
Me neither. Yeah, I've also never seen Elektra, and I know that you've said that that's not actually, that's pretty decent.
It's better than Daredevil, in my opinion.
Hmm. Yeah, and I've never seen Daredevil.
Mm-hmm. So those, oh, really? You've never seen Daredevil?
Yeah, I've never. That just sort of slipped through the cracks. When did that come out, by the way?
Oh, my gosh. 2004? Is it really 9 years old? Is that right? I don't know that off the top of my head. I have it. If you want to borrow it, the version I have is a director's cut that has maybe 13 extra minutes, and it has a couple little subplot bits cut out, and it actually makes the movie better. Having those little bits put back in makes the movie better.
Huh.
So I would recommend that. Like this, the because I left, I saw the one in the theater, and I just left like, ugh. Like I would never want to watch that again. But then enough time passed, you know, and it came out. And of course, I had to have it. It was at a time when I was just buying everything, every superhero movie, I had to have it. And I watched that director's cut, and the director's cut is superior.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing that. I know my wife is, she's pretty interested in watching Elektra, she said. She likes Jennifer Garner.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good. There were a couple of, the other day this occurred to me, and I was wondering, I meant to ask you, did that Swamp Thing movie ever happen?
Swamp Thing?
Wasn't there a Swamp Thing movie that was supposed to happen?
I think you're getting, you might be getting confused. There is a Man Thing.
Man Thing, yeah.
And they did. I have it, and I've never watched it. It's still in the shrink wrap. It was like, you know, it was for completest purposes. I had to have every film with a Marvel character in it. What I was told by someone who watched it is the Man Thing is in the last 2 minutes of the movie.
Oh, fun.
It's like a Blair Witchy kind of thing with kids camping in a swamp, and you actually only see the Man Thing in the last 2 minutes.
Yeah, you can save that film then for.
Come on.
No, it's funny though. On this flight to New Zealand, I got sucked into watching The Dark Knight again. I told you, I don't know if I told you that or not, but I had all
these
things.
The Dark Knight or The Dark Knight Rises?
The Dark Knight. It was on.
Yeah, I never get tired of that.
No, I know. And you know, then TNT, or I think it was TNT, has just been doing like marathons of it, just like back to back. Batman Begins, Dark Knight Rises, and you know, it's.
Well, they don't have the rights for Dark Knight Rises, do they? TNT.
No, maybe you're right. I'm sorry, you're right. It was Batman Begins and then Dark Knight, playing those back to back. And so I just, last weekend it was on, I just kept watching it. We got back from our trip and I think I watched Batman Begins like twice and Dark Knight twice within like 3 days. It's just,
I've seen Batman Begins a lot. I do get tired of Batman Begins. Hmm. I get tired of that one. I just think it's because I've seen it so many times.
Right. And if you want, like, if you want to get to the parts where you start to see Batman, you know you have to wait nearly an hour.
Right. Yeah. It's a really long time.
And but if you're seeing it for the first time, it's genius, right? Because you're getting to see, you know, you're getting to see them build up and make him into Batman. But you're, you know, if you're seeing it for the 15th time, you're like, all right, I just want to skip to the parts where he's already in the Batmobile.
Yeah. And I think some of the little flaws in it, you can excuse the first few times. But after a while, I'm just like, I'm going to punch Katie Holmes in the face.
Yeah.
If I see Katie Holmes, oh, here she comes again. Oh, she's making that same pouty face again.
I'm so glad she wasn't in the rest of them.
And I don't really like Maggie Gyllenhaal. I really don't, you know. But, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, did you see, I know you're a big McDonald's fan. Did you see McDonald's account got hacked by Burger King?
What do you mean it got hacked?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Hackers took over Burger King's Twitter account, and they changed the Burger King account to McDonald's.
Why?
And they sent out a whole flurry of, like, questionable tweets. I don't know.
What's the point of that?
So it wasn't all bad, though, for Burger King, because it got, like, an additional 5,000 new followers in the first 30 minutes since hackers took it over.
What is the end goal of that? I don't understand. Like all these, a bunch of like really hardcore pro McDonald's computer hackers were like, we're going to stick it to BK.
Here's the official statement from Burger King. It's come to our attention that the Twitter account of the Burger King brand has been hacked. We've worked directly with administrators to suspend the account until we're able to reestablish our legitimate site and authentic postings. We apologize to our fans and followers who have been receiving erroneous tweets about other members of our industry and additional inappropriate topics. So, all of a sudden, the avatar changes to the McDonald's logo, and it just says McDonald's is the name instead of, you know, but it's still at Burger King. And they just start like randomly sending out pictures of like guys shooting heroin up their arm.
Oh. It
says, we caught one of our employees in the bathroom doing this. And they have a photo of a guy. And then another one, we just got sold to McDonald's. Look for McDonald's in a hood near you. And then here's another one. This is why we were sold to at McDonald's. All of our employees crush and sniff Percocets in the bathroom.
Right on. I guess Burger King didn't like that.
Yeah. King didn't like that.
But they Am I understanding you correctly?
But they got an additional 5,000 followers as a result of it.
Sending out entertaining tweets.
I love that. What can we do to get an additional 5,000 followers in 30 minutes?
Somebody hacked us and started sending out pro-McDonald's tweets.
I guess so.
I think the sky's the limit.
I'm going to hack you and start sending out pictures of you shooting heroin in the bathroom.
All right. I'll stage some of that for you.
Or maybe some photos of you dancing. I don't know what that's about. But
I don't know where you'd find a photo of that.
Yeah. Get to the bottom of that one.
Good luck.
Hey, let's pause here and thank one of our show sponsors, our good friends over at Cobra Electronics. Are you familiar with Cobra? If you are not.
I am, because I use their stuff all the time, Clayton.
Yeah, what do you use all the time?
I use the Cobra iRadar when I'm road tripping, because it makes me a safer and more alert driver.
That's the way to go, the Cobra iRadar. How would you describe the Cobra iRadar? Because I'm going to do you one better. I'm going to tell you about the brand new Cobra iRadar, but how would you describe the one you're currently using?
Black. You know. Sleek, it's compact, it's easy to use.
That's right. Yeah, it's small already, but you put it on your dashboard. It pairs with a smartphone, so you can use it on any of your smartphones, you know, Android, iOS device, doesn't really matter. You download the free Cobra iRadar app. It works over Bluetooth, and it has a built-in charger, so you don't have to worry about your battery running down. It shows up the alerts. It shows you how fast you're going. It even shows your battery strength of your car battery, which is, if you think about it, it's a really smart thing, right? Because sometimes batteries go dead. You're just not even aware that you're actually going to have a battery problem. Once you start seeing that it's not keeping a charge and you're already noticing it because you've got your Cobra iRadar plugged in, boom, take it in, get it fixed, make sure that your battery's up to snuff so you don't walk out one morning and not able to start your car. The new Cobra iRadar comes out very, very soon, I believe April. It's smaller. It has twice the distance that it picks up from radar detection. Mm-hmm. So live police alerts, speed and red light camera alerts. It has a map view as well. You can tap the map view. Mm-hmm. It has other alerts, real radar alerts. It has a dashboard. So it has all sorts of information right there for you. And it doesn't matter if you cross state lines because, you know, different police departments use different radar detection. It automatically knows that in the database. Plus, if Mike's driving like an hour ahead of me on a road trip and he sees a speed trap, he can tag it. And that'll go into the Aura driving database, which is updated twice daily. So when I'm driving by, about an hour later, I'll see the warning that we're entering a speed trap area. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very helpful. We were driving the other day, and sure enough, the lady's voice comes on, speed trap area. And sure enough, came around the bend, and sure enough, there was a speed trap, and there was a police officer sitting there, a state trooper, the popo. So check them out. They have a whole host of products over at Cobra.com. And, of course, you can always go over to Amazon and order any of their products. You can order them right from Cobra.com, though, if you like. Everything from two-way radios, marine electronics, jump starters, LED lights. It's the perfect gift for anyone in your life. You want them to be a safer driver and get out there on the road. Check them out at Cobra.com. We love them a whole lot.
Yes, thank you, Cobra. And you know, if you want to help us continue to deliver quality content to you week in and week out across the GrizzlyProductions.tv network, help us out. Go over there and check out our great show sponsors. We can't keep doing it without them, and we like to keep them happy because they're good to us. Cobra.com is the place to aim your browser.
Absolutely. What else is going on? Are they might be giants? Coming out with a new album soon?
I believe it is coming out next month. I believe it is due out very, very soon, and then probably a huge tour for those guys to follow, because they tour like maniacs. Dude, they might be giants. I do want to listen to that podcast that Flans was on, incidentally. He's out there quite a bit, you know. Not so much Linnell. Linnell's always kind of been the reclusive one. Even getting his autograph, you know, I can remember from when I used to be on their mailing list. I used to get that thing every month from their fan club mailing list. People would talk about how impossible it is to get his autograph. And, you know, he doesn't sign his name. He doesn't sign his full name. He signs John Sid. His middle name is Sidney. So you can always distinguish a real Linnell from a bogus one, because that was a big issue. You know, people would try to get both Johns to sign stuff, and then maybe they'd sell it on eBay or something like that. And John Linnell never actually signs the name John Linnell. He's always been the more reclusive of the two Johns. I think it was in their documentary. Do you ever see that documentary about him called Gigantic?
I still have not watched it. It's in my
Your eternal Netflix queue.
No, I think I have it in iTunes that I've never watched. It's in my iTunes library. I should watch that.
One of the people they talk to about the band says that Linnell's the kind of guy who would, without a John Flansburgh, would just be in his basement making albums for his whole life. You know, like he would never come out of his basement. And it's kind of like Flansburgh who brings him out, which I thought was kind of interesting. So, yeah, I imagine that there's going to be a giant tour in the wake of this new one. And then they're expected to follow this with another children's album. They were doing some kind of project with puppets that they've been talking about here and there. And that people were thinking that was going to be the next thing out of the pipeline from them, but that children's project's going to wait a little bit longer. One thing that I'm very interested in, and we've talked about a little bit, in a couple months here, Clayton and I are going to be seeing Michael Nesmith live in concert. And he's going to be at Town Hall in New York. He's doing a tour of about 15 or 16 dates. About half of them have already sold out, which is a great sign, a great sign. Now, he hasn't really toured since 1995 on his own. He's done random one-off solo appearances here and there, sometimes unannounced, but he hasn't had a real tour since 1995. So one of the things that got leaked out through his website, which is videoranch.com, and I am really, really hoping that the date we're going to see him includes this, is certain cities, they will have a meet-and-greet option. Where you can actually, like, see the Nez. Wow. Because as we've discovered, when it comes to being elusive, he's, like, right up at the top of the chain.
Yeah, I don't know that there's anyone more elusive than him.
Yeah. So I was super excited to discover that some of them, not all of the cities, but some of them are going to have meet-and-greet options with him.
I thought about it the other night. I was sitting there, and I had my Monkees T-shirt on, and my son knows the shirt. He's like, the Monkees. And it has a picture of Mickey, Mike, and Peter on the front from this latest tour. And so he's learned the names. He knows that Mike is on the far right of the shirt, and Mickey's in the center, and Peter's over there. And he's like, what did they sing? You know, and I'll sing a little for him and stuff. And I thought, you know, he's great. When we're at like a concert or something like that, or a baseball, he just sits and just stares, and he's just like takes it in. My wife took him to like a classical music thing at a local high school during the holidays, and he loved it. And I thought, my God, wouldn't it be cool if I could take him to his first concert, and his first concert was Nez?
Mm.
Sit on my lap and just watch that. I don't know that they would let me, you know, be too much of a pain. But I also thought, hey, Sting is coming to town.
That's right, yeah.
He's going to be in Atlantic City at the Borgata, not too distant future, as part of that Back to Base tour again. I thought, oh, maybe go down there, maybe, you know, stay at the casino, stay at the hotel there. So if there was an issue and he just, you know, had to go to bed or just wasn't into it or something, like just run him upstairs and, you know, put him to bed or something. But my first concert, and I, you know, sometimes you have to answer this for, like, you know, security questions and stuff like that. Not that I ever choose it, because it's kind of an obvious one. But, you know, what was your first concert growing up? And my first concert, do you remember yours?
I do. Yeah, I'll tell you the story in a second.
My first concert was Liberace. So I will always have that stain on me. I mean, it's kind of a cool stain to have, right?
But I wouldn't say that.
I mean, because it's so wacky. But yeah, that's my first concert. So I'm sort of stuck with Liberace being my first concert. Imagine growing up and, you know, your parents were cool enough to take you to go see Sting. Like, what's your first concert you ever saw? Well, when I was three, I got to see Sting. Really?
Chandel. I saw Chandel, the mad pianist.
Did you?
No, I never saw Liberace.
So who was your first concert?
The first concert I ever went to was Lollapalooza.
Wow.
I went in 1994. Waited. It was headlined by the Smashing Pumpkins, and in the supporting acts, there was Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, and there was George Clinton and the P-Funk All-Stars. There was an indie band that was like an angry girl band called L7 that was kind of popular. The Breeders had a hit on radio. Do you remember when the Deal Sisters broke away from the Pixies? Frank Black went solo, and the Deal Sisters became the Breeders. And they had that one-off hit, Cannonball.
Right, right, right.
If you remember, that was a very good song. They had some minor hits, too, that were really cool, too, like Mad Lucas and Divine Hammer. But me and some of my high school cronies, we went to see Lollapalooza on, I guess it was on Roosevelt Field in Philly. And it was just this huge, you know, the weather was bad that day, and it was like a massive field of mud,
right?
You know, with whatever, a ridiculous number, 50,000 people standing in this pile of mud. And I'd never been to a concert, let alone something like that, which was like an all-day. It was 12 hours you were there. It was an all-day music festival, and it was crazy. And one thing I remember a couple of distinct things about it. One of them is this. I came home without a sneaker. I came home with just one shoe. And that was really hard to explain. That was really – no, it came off. This was when – I don't know if it's still popular, but the phenomenon of crowd surfing –
Was
popular. So we were all like crowd surfing, and you know, people are passing you over their head, and you're like, oh, this is awesome. I'm like riding a wave of people, and oops, someone knocked my sneaker off, and I'll never find that. And I remember this very distinctly, that one of my friends, you'll recall, Brad Noe.
Right.
A man who was quite slight of frame. He was painfully gaunt. And I would say not well known for his strength. If anything, the opposite. I distinctly remember it was getting toward the end, the Beastie Boys, which it seemed like the Beastie Boys really had drawn the crowd more than the Smashing Pumpkins, even though they were the headline act. But my friends were there to see the Smashing Pumpkins, and Brad was a big fan of the Breeders. And we were waiting for the Smashing Pumpkins. And a girl that we had gone to high school with, who will remain nameless for the point of this story, who was never particularly nice to me and my group of friends, kind of like waddled up to us. And we were like, wow, what are you doing here? You know, one of the popular girls, what are you doing here? And she's like, listen, I came with, you know, these girls, and they were my ride home, and I can't find them. You know, it's a sea of 50,000 people. She's like, I can't find them. Like, can I ride home with you guys? Because I don't know how I'm going to get home. And we're all kind of looking at each other like, oh, you know, the car is full as it is. Like, oh, I'm going to have to put up with her, you know. She's kind of nasty to us. Do we really want to do this? And while we're kind of having that awkward, you know, meeting of the eyeballs, like who's going to deal with this in the group, Brad, who, as I said, if anything, was known for his weakness, clasped his hands right around one of her legs, which to me is like the old Shawn Michaels teardrop suplex. But he clasped right around one of her legs, hoisted her up, and just crowd surfed her away. And we never saw her again. And I was like in awe of him when he did this. Like, I was like, you solved the problem, Brad. That was brilliant. It was like the only physical thing I've ever seen him do. And
don't you wish we could have like crowd surf available? Like, just you just happen to be nearby it, and you just need to call upon it. And
right, flash mob.
When you get rid of these annoying people, you know, people that won't leave your house or people that
do you have a lot of that? The people that won't leave your house.
You know, when you're done with the conversation, they just keep lingering. You know, we had some guy over at the house yesterday helping us with something, and he's, you know, just like we had already made our point. Like, we don't need to keep continuing this conversation.
Right.
So, you know, like, where's the crowd?
These feral cats have got to go. Now, take off your white gloves and shove off.
Exactly. Get the crowd surf over here. Where's my crowdsource button? I just hit a button on my iPhone, and a crowd
surf. Mob.
A flash mob shows up and crowd surfs this annoying person away.
Yeah,
that'd be great. That'd be fantastic.
I was really intrigued, by the way. I haven't looked at it at all, but after you brought up Fiverr.com the other day, I was really thinking, like, what kind of jobs do people do for $5? And I kept thinking to myself, I should really look at that website. That'd be fun to look. I just haven't had time. I've been really busy.
You haven't had 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll have time for this. You know, we were talking about They Might Be Giants. And here, you know, we were talking about latest project. Well, I don't know if you know that they just released an iPhone app.
Mm.
and it's pretty darn cool.
Oh?
Yeah, it's sort of like Dial-A-Song, but for the for iOS. So I think you can get it on your iPad. Works the same way. But it's just called They Might Be Giants. Just do a search for it in the App Store, and every day they release a new unreleased song for you to listen to.
That's cool. You know, they were doing a lot of that on that podcast of theirs for a while.
Yeah.
Like they'd like sing a song right on the podcast, but then, you know, they just have the kind of stuff I think that used to be on Dial-A-Song.
Yeah.
You know, they'd have these one-off wacky tracks. And they do put out compilations of that kind of stuff, like that album Raises New and Troubling Questions, or even back in the day. I mean, to me, it's still one of my favorite releases they ever did. But Miscellaneous Tea was like a compilation of B-sides and like Dial-A-Song oddities, you know, like Mr. Right. Claw, or that untitled track of like that dialogue that got mysteriously recorded on their answering machine.
Right. Right. Have you heard the song Asbury Park?
I don't know. But, you know, they did do a release of those venue songs, and you can buy that in iTunes. I don't know if that's one of them.
No, I'm going to play this. Here's a little Asbury Park. This is off their iPhone app.
Kicked in the head backstage at the Stone Pony. I got kicked in the head backstage at the Stone Pony, where I swore to the guy that the guy took the beer was the maid. Me got kicked in the head backstage at the Stone Pony.
So it goes on like that. That's pretty funny. Asbury Park. And of course, you know, the Stone Pony, that's where Bruce Springsteen got his start.
Mm-hmm.
At the Stone Pony in Asbury Park, New Jersey. Mm-hmm.
Just a quick update, by the way. I found it on their Wikipedia page. Their next album, Nanobots, comes out March 5th. So just 2-3 weeks away.
Now, oh, actually, so it's not just all unreleased songs. It's stuff like this, too, off of Flood. Favorites.
Mm.
You can just keep scrolling through ones that are available. The Lady and the Tiger. Mm. Cyclops. So they release like a new one every day, I guess. Pretty cool. It's the They Might Be Giants app.
Yeah.
They're technologically advanced. So anything else going on? What are we going to do next week? We're next week on the show, we are going to announce the winner of the Google Nexus 7 tablet.
Right. Sign up for your Tonks. Send out that tweet, kids.
Yeah, sign up for your Tonks coffee, send it out. You will not be disappointed, especially when you get those beans for the first time. You're like, ooh. My mom and dad were visiting this weekend, and my mom knows that I'm a fan of Tonks coffee, and she just signed up.
Were those the people you wanted to crowd surf away?
No, we had a contractor.
You're like, all right, Dad.
So she smelled the beans when I opened mm-hmm. up the bag of beans to make some Tonks coffee, and she said, oh, that's good. Indeed it is. So what mm-hmm. else is going on? You're going to be traveling again or no?
I'm always out there, especially this weekend. I'm at Wrestling Is Fun. That's in Allentown, Pennsylvania, where I'll be wrestling Juan Francisco de Coronado, ever accompanied to the ring by his manservant, Herbert. I'll be taking them on at the West End Youth Center, so come out and see me Saturday night in Allentown, PA. I would love to see you there. The weekend thereafter, I am back in New Hampshire. I haven't wrestled in New Hampshire in about maybe 4 years, give or take. I'll be in Rochester, New Hampshire with Wrestling Is Awesome. Come and check me out there. The following weekend, Chikara makes its debut in the Sunshine State. I'll be in Tampa, Florida, and Orlando, Florida, the first weekend. No, I'm mistaken. Second weekend in March. That's the 8th and the 9th. Come out and see me on the road. I look forward to seeing you there. I'm also over on The Trending Show with someone Clayton knows. Join Natalie and I, except when the recording device totally screws up and we lose the track and we can't release the episode. We're always on The Trending Show together. That usually releases on the weekends. We're really sorry that we screwed up that track. It was a really good episode, too. I know nobody will ever believe that. We had a really good episode and we lost it.
Oh, you did? Yeah. After she did the episode, she's like, that was a fun episode. And I was mm-hmm. wondering why I haven't seen it pop up in my feed yet.
Oh, I'm surprised she didn't tell you that.
No. Yeah. Well, yeah. I was already asleep because I had to do my show at like 3 a.m, so I was already asleep when you guys were recording. But catch my wife. She was on Twit this week, by the way.
Oh.
If you get a chance to see my lovely wife, she was on This Week in Tech with Leo Laporte, and they had a great discussion there as well. What else?
I don't know. You and I should grab lunch tomorrow. That'll do it for the Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe, kids.
See you, everyone. Bye-bye.